You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your personal involvement and presence. Honor yourself even now. For the classes, for the people, for the sick, for the weak, for the troubled, for the wayward. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, as we have proceeded, I'm going to go back just a moment, if I may, to chapter 6 and in verse 14. Remember now, he's fed the 15,000 plus people, and in the process with the five loaves and the two fishes. And thus, verse 14, then those men, which when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world." This is the prophet. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Got the prophet part, and they moved from the prophet quickly to the king. Prophet, priest, king. The Messiah is the prophet of prophets, the king of kings, prophet, priest, and king, the priest of all priests. Now, so in the light of that, that's what they want to do, and of course the Lord avoided and didn't let that happen. So now, in the process, they followed him, as you know, all the way over to Capernaum, and they wanted to have another meal, as we shared together. And thus, why not? They had the best biscuits, the best fish ever on earth. You could never have anything better. So when God does anything, it always is the best, perfect. Now, so in the light of that, and remember they wanted to go and they followed him and he pinned them down, exposed them to their motive. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, the signs, miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. And so you're going to force me to be king on your terms, for your reasons, your agenda, as it were, and you would like me to be your king. And thus, and you want me to feed you in an earthly way, in the light of your stomach as opposed to your soul. In the light of the material, in the light of the social world you lived in, with Herod and all of the Jews and Romans. In the light of the government of Herod and Rome. In the light of all the earthly conditions back then. You would like me to be your king, to sort of bring some benefits in and through and by means of being king in all these areas. You want me to be your government. You want me to be your provider. You want me to provide all your material needs." And thus they were very, very inclined and moved that way. So that's where they're looking. That's what they want. And that's what they're looking for. And thus he's the prophet, verse 14. He's the king. He's the king. Prophet and king? What do you mean, prophet and king? All the prophets bear witness, Acts 10, all the prophets bear witness to our Lord. But they're missing it. They're totally missing. They're so earthbound. They're so caught up in here and now, caught up in the material world, in their world which is very real to them. They live in it, but they can't move into the other one. They can't get out of this one into the next one in the sense of understanding there's more to everything than this. They couldn't get there. Now, in the light of that, Psalm 47. Remember now, I'm looking at the crowd, I'm looking at the Jewish people, I'm looking at the leadership, the priests, the Levites, the scribes, the Sadducees. I'm looking at all these people that are very with it. What do they understand? They want to make prophet, king. What do you want to do? Now, what are they missing? Why is it their stomach and not their soul? Why are they failing to understand why the Lord would not, N-O-T, let them make them king? And he slipped. He moved them all away. They were all going to take him by force. And God, in his wonderful grace, didn't let that happen. Now, Psalm 47 goes back among the Messiah, the kingdom, looking at Messiah's reign. And if I may, picking up, please, verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. So they have a sense, someone, the believing heart had a sense of their wonderful purpose of the nation of Israel, to be a nation to all nations. And so they understood, he's a great king. He's the king of all kings. Verse 6. Sing praise to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our king. Sing praises. Verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen, the nations. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. All aware, where? They very much, God is king. God is king. They want to make him king, but they don't understand who he really is. Thus, over to Zechariah. Zechariah, if you would. And you would remember Zechariah, Haggai, looking into the days ahead, as we just did with Psalm 47. So the Messiah, he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, so in the having that in mind, and power, wisdom, holiness, chapter 9 of Zechariah adds, if I may go directly to verse 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. He's going to come in. He's coming in way back here in Zechariah's day. Looking, the king is coming. The king. God is king. You're looking for the king. The king is coming. And you're going to identify him because he's going to be riding on a donkey. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come into Jerusalem, not out of the clouds. He's going to do that later. Right now, he's going to come riding on a donkey. So now, having said that, and they were to understand that, the king, thy king is coming. He's going to ride on a donkey. Okay. Chapter 14, Zechariah. And in chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one, only one name worshipped, the living and only God. No other name, no other person, place, God. God singularly will be understood to be God. One God, one Lord, one Savior. Just one. Chapter 14, picking up please, in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations, after the tribulation, which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of the tabernacles. Verse 17. And it shall be that whoso will not come up during the millennium of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King in Jerusalem, the Lord of hosts, even unto them, upon them shall no rain be. So God, you're going to make it very clear, you want to attend church. That's what you want to do. You don't attend, you'll be sorry. So now, here they are coming to worship and to honor God in Jerusalem. So now, in the process of that, and he is king. Israel failed. Israel failed to honor and serve the King of Kings. They failed to do so. Malachi chapter 1. The last book in the Old Testament, remember. And things are not going well with the general population. Malachi 1:6. A son is honored. A son honoreth his father. A servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? Unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And they had. And you can keep reading to get the gist of it, but that's to get the main point. They weren't. He's king. He's coming king. God is king. But they weren't honoring God as king. So how are they going to honor our Lord as king? They weren't honoring God as king personally. They were full of their stomach. Here and now, everything we can get, eat, taste, touch, and smell. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, chapter 3 of Malachi. And chapter 3, picking up please in verse 14. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. What profit? Is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord our host? And now we call the proud happy? Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God, put God to the test, they are delivered. Wow. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. But the general populace isn't doing that. In fact, we just read it in verse 15, you call the proud happy. Over to chapter 2, verse 17, just to add to that, 2 and 17, again, the attitude, the mood of the people. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. God delights in everything that goes wrong. And where is the God of judgment? God isn't going to do anything about it anyway. God isn't going to do anything. So here comes the end of Malachi. And thus they are very conscious of God. No, not like they should be, not at all. They're conscious that they have removed God. And they're quite comfortable without God. So well, when the Lord John the Baptist comes, and the Lord comes, what do the people understand about this king business? And you would remember, without turning there, in Matthew chapter 2, they're going to come, and the wise men are going to come all the way over from the Euphrates, way over there. They're going to cross over, and they're going to go hundreds of miles. What are they going to do? And they're people that study books and history, and they read the Bible, and read Zechariah 9. And here they come. And what are they going to ask the people when they get to Bethlehem? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? You guys aren't even Jews. No. And by the way, are they aware that he's king, but they don't want to honor him? Yes, sir. Herod, you're something else when it comes to being looking to God. Herod, what are you going to do? Well, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And what are you going to say, Herod, to them, to your wise men that read, study? What are you going to ask them? Where is he to be born who is King of the Jews? Herod, what do you want to know? Where is he that is going to be born who is King of the Jews? I want to know. And that was, of course, in Bethlehem, and he's going to go after them. Now, having said that and keeping that little bit in the front, so all the people, they aren't doing well when it comes to God and his position as king. And thus, king of all the earth, everywhere. And so they are very caught up in, and they challenge, without going back there, well, why not go back there? John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we'll pick up another thought. John chapter 6. And if I may, in verse 30, they're going to challenge him. Remember, we did it. And they said unto him, 6:30. And they said therefore unto him, that what sign showest thou then, that we may see with our eyes and believe that thou dost work? Then work. Are you give us some credential that you want us to believe you? And what? What do we do in order to do what you do? Well, you got to believe. But we don't want to believe. You got to believe who you are. That's right. And we, who are you anyway that we should believe? Now we want you to be king, prophet, king on our terms. No question. But now you're telling us to re-examine our motives. What are we after? What are we on earth for anyway? What are we born for? And so now, John chapter 5 and verse 39, you remember. John 5 and 39. Search the scriptures, said our Lord. Why? Which looking at them. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, which testify and bear record of me. So I told you to believe. You say, what sign? I gave you the scriptures. You're going to pay attention to what I said? Nope. You're going to honor me for who I am? Nope. Not going to do that either. So they failed. They failed to understand. And having failed, they're in the presence of our Lord. They were without any profit. They had no practical benefits whatsoever. And in a very little bit, he's going to go to the cross. And they are not, and they're going to go right along with it in the way to crucify him. They are not any further along than way back in Nehemiah, in Malachi. Have you advanced any? No. No, we're still caught up. Wilderness, where you can't beat manna. We shared it together. Manna from heaven. But manna from heaven and fowl, flesh, quail, etc., at night can't be compared to the wonderful diet we had in Egypt. You can't beat Egyptian diet. We were slaves. We didn't have what the hierarchy had. We were nobodies. But we ate better. We liked the slaves' diet. It filled our stomach. And we were satisfied. We didn't have to answer to anything higher or more than we were. It allows us to be at our level, and we aren't going to disrupt the wave, make any waves. We like where we're at. And thus, here they are, proceeding. So now, God, here you're going to go. And you're going to have, on the last days, week of your earthly ministry before you go to the cross, you're going to enter the city. I'm just trying to build to that so you see it, that they aren't interested. They are interested in their stomach. Over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew in chapter 21. And remember, in Matthew chapter 21, our Lord is going to enter Jerusalem, the east gate. He's going to come down through it, Mount of Olives, about 3,000 feet, going to come down and enter in. And in the process, as he approaches and all of that, and as he comes, you would recall, as he goes, the Mount of Olives, and I'm picking up, if I can, Zechariah 9, but I'm going to read Matthew chapter 21, verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So, no question, you just take the donkeys and come. And if anyone says anything, you tell him, I said to take him, and no one is even going to question you when you do that. Verse 4, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, Zechariah 9, might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Here you come, the son of an ass. So here he comes, coming into the city. And the disciples went, and Jesus commanded them, and they brought an ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him there, use a little saddle-like comfort. Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in the way, so that he had a blanket, a path, a royal, not the regular path, was covered with their clothes and covered with the palm leaves and all of that stuff, branches, to show that it's a special entrance. Special time, very special. And the multitude that went before him that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And they're singing now. They're very all excited crowd. The crowd's very excited. A time, a Passover time. And remember now, as he's coming, you remember when we did this in the past. They already know how many animal sacrifices they had then. 256,000 some odd count. So now you take that count and you're trying to figure out how many people are at the Passover, and allowing for 10 people per sacrifice, it comes out to 2.7 million people are in Jerusalem. And if you looked at Jerusalem, you'll have an idea. 2.7 million people. So they're everywhere. Their tents are everywhere. They're all over the place. That's right. 2.7 million. And they're coming, and as they come in, the crowd gets all excited. Who's coming down the path? And watching the branches and the clothes. And, of course, they had seen all the Lord's miracles, those that had been around the country and in Jerusalem in particular, in the temple. So they're all excited, to say the least. And they are moved, very much so. And you'll note, you'll pick it up, please, the city was moved. And in the verse 10, and when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the word moved is seismic, earthquakes, seismic, California, anyway, seismic, earthquakes. The city was moved like an earthquake. Wow, moved. And understandable, the movement would be awesome, to say the least, at the time. And they said, who is this? The city was moved, and they were saying in a consistent basis, who is this? And thus the crowd, the God offers, honors the God The crowd honors the god of public opinion. The crowd always honors the god of public opinion. The crowd does. So now, here's the crowd waving, lining, coming, shouting. And they aren't thinking. Do they understand? No, they don't understand. And they don't understand at all as they come. And they aren't even on the same page. But he's coming. He's coming. And they're excited because here's a heaven-sent rebel, heaven-sent rebel to rescue us from Rome, from Herod, to rescue us from the strong grip of Rome. And the crowd was cheering and excited for the wrong reasons. And as they saw him, they saw not his ambitions, but theirs. What were they after? They weren't seeing the Lord as Lord and King. They were seeing the Lord in the place that he is our prophet. He's for us. He's for our ambitions. He's for our agendas. He's for our wishes. And we're looking for him to come. So we're all excited. And we're all excited because we're seeing something for here and now, with no understanding that here and now is going to answer to there and then. Here and now is going to answer to there and then. So whatever's here, you know the saying goes, don't build your nest in the tree when you know the whole forest is going. Don't build your nest in the tree when you know the whole forest is going to go. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and that's who is this? Who is this? And that's what they're looking for. Now, having said that, and these coming into the city, no question, and remember now, they had their earthly thinking robbed them of what they wanted, what they imagined, what they expected, what they hoped for. You have to be careful. What do you hope for? What do you want? What do you want from God? What do you hope for? What are you expecting? What are you looking for? We hope for, but he wasn't. He disappointed us. He was not what we hoped for at all. At all. And as the manna disappointed us in the wilderness, so he disappointed us. And God offered them eternal life, but eternal life can never beat here and now. How could tomorrow ever be more important and precious than my life right now? My life counts right now. And that's what they were doing. They were caught up in that in a most awesome way. So now, how do we go and have an advantage? Have an advantage. Remember, we're looking to have an advantage, and we're going to miss out. We don't see what God is after. We have we aren't looking to the future. We have no sense of tomorrow. We're all wrapped up in now and next week and next year, and we're going to keep going. We realize somewhere in tomorrow, it isn't going to be like this, and it's all going to disappear. Everything you earn, get, win, do, disappears. It's all gone. And by the way, so are all the people that had all those things. They're all gone too. So in the light, I wanted to go and just ask myself, and you could share it. Here is, I'm thinking of all, you probably, some of you have a dog, canary. Well, here's a frog. That's the best I have. Frog. Little frog. Now I want you to know, what advantage does the frog have over you? What advantage does your cat have over you? Your dog, what advantage do they have over you? They don't have any, do they? Do you want to be a cat? A dog? Why not? Why not? Because you know that they don't have it. They're wonderful little critters, but they don't have any life. And they can never replace who you are. Take the place of who you are. So now, when we go, there must be more. There must be more to something. If all we are is this, evolution, etc., if that's all we are, what then? Nothing, 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 nothing. So we're going to satisfy our stomach, our possessions. We're going to try to go with all our pills and bed and roof over our head. We're going to have all of these things. That's it. Going to have this. You got your youth, but tomorrow you won't have your youth. And all your instincts, skill, and otherwise are all going to be gone, aren't they? But you do have an advantage over the frog. You do, because you're more than a frog. And thus, otherwise, here's the best I can do for a person. There you are. Is this all you are? Flesh and blood? Right now. Is that all you are? Feed your stomach. Have more things, car, sport, everything. We got them all. For how long? For how long? Is that all you got? And then you what? You're going to die. And you know I have my skeleton down there. I can't find it. You're going to die. After that, after you've been everything, what have you got? Nothing. You got a big zero. They're caught up in their stomach. They're caught up in here and now. They can't get past it. They're going to crucify him. They can't get past it. They can't get past it. Wow. They can't get past it. So, and they just want their stomach satisfied. I am more than my stomach. I am more than the food I eat. I am more than what I do. What I can do, I can't do. I am more than that. I am more than someone to brush my teeth and go to bed and get up and go to work, go to school. I'm more than that. Much more than that. If I don't understand that, then I'm trying to preserve that, all of that, and I get older and older, and it's all going to disappear. Everything I get, earn, do is going to disappear. And then I'm going to go back to the dust of the ground. If I have my stomach as my goal, and my God, the God of the stomach, God was their stomach, that's all I got. I don't have anything. They wanted a king. They wanted someone to fit into their world and give them more of what they would like, the way they would like it. And of course, that wasn't going to happen. Over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, picking up, if I may, going to verse 11. You remember going in trial in the garden and then the trials and etc. before his crucifixion. And picking up, if I can, in verse 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, that's what Judas got for betraying him, valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. In other words, we didn't just throw it out there for the field, where they bury them. Verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto them, Thou sayest. You said I'm the king of the Jews. You said I'm the king of the Jews. Do you understand that, Pontius Pilate? The Jews are fighting over all this. They're going to crucify him. But you want to know if he's the king. He's just, you know all about him. But you understand in looking at him, talking with him, he just may be the king. He just may be the king. Over, if you would, verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they stripped him of his robe, remember, and they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, like a scepter, and they bowed before the knee before him and mocked him. Now, what are they making fun of? Saying, Hail, King of the Jews. So the Romans, they're going to make fun of him. That's right. King of the Jews. Are you King of the Jews? King of the Jews. They're going to make fun of the King of the Jews. That's what they're going to do. The Israel, are you in cahoots with them? Are you correcting their thinking? Nope. The Jewish people back then, the nation as a whole, was not supporting God's word and God's grace and person in Christ, Messiah. They were not supporting it. And therefore, why would the world mock Christianity? Why does the world mock Christianity now? Why is the world eliminating biblical truth? The church has no testimony. And therefore, if the Jews don't honor God, you can be sure the Gentiles aren't. And if the church won't honor God as God, then why would the world, and they make fun of him and all of that? Someone has said that I didn't read it. It gave me a little thing, a write-up on it, I guess. There must be a film, Noah, floating in the ark. Noah, and the write-up, you know. And whenever you'll have to go back to the first Hollywood film made when John the Baptist stood at the River Jordan to have any accuracy. All Hollywood does is louse up everything. Because they couldn't possibly understand God. They couldn't possibly picture him in his humanity. You couldn't do it. I don't see how you could do it. That's why I don't. Wait, that's a figure. I'd rather see Frankenstein. Frankenstein's a clear cut. Clear cut Frankenstein. Boom! I got it. I got Frankenstein. See? But the others. Don't do that to me. Wow. So now, we've got all of this and the world. You have the wrong understanding of God, and that's because the church doesn't understand. So now, back to verse 29, they put crown of thorns. Verse 37. And set up over his head on the cross. And this accusation written, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. So they're going to put it. He comes in, he's King of the Jews. Hosanna. No question. But not King. Not you. All that stuff, you have to cool it because they aren't connected, disconnected. They're going to go to the cross anyway. Rebels, rebellion, indifference, chaos. And the Lord's going to march right down to the cross, right through it all. Wow. Now, going a little further if I can, verse 42. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders said, verse 42, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. No, they wouldn't. They would. They just. If he came down, that no, that nothing would change. Nothing would change. It couldn't change unless he died to make it possible to change. And if he doesn't die, nothing's going to change. Everything is in deep trouble, to say the least. So here's Israel, the king. Israel's awaiting their king. They rejected their king. They said, crucify, crucify, crucify the king. They did that. They did that. They crucified him. They rejected him. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they rejected him. That's what they did. They won't. They won't coming up. They won't do that. Now, so hang on. Over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I just want to look. Here's a saved Jew, the Apostle Paul. And he was a persecutor, hunter, killer of believers. That's what he did. And he knew that. And thus his testimony, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, by the way, I am the worst one. That's good. Verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, and Paul, what are you going to say? Now, I'm trying to tell you about the one that saved me. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever and ever. That's my testimony. I understood the King. My predecessors and the ones that are out there, they aren't recognizing him as King. They want King on their terms. You want God on your terms. And it never, never will work. Never works. Now, so here in Timothy, over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, picking up again, if I may, in verse 13. I give thee charge, Paul again, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. He said, are you Christ? Yeah. Are you God? Yes. Yes, I am. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times, in his seasons, all the seasons come, known, the fixed seasons, in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul, you're telling us he is the King. He is the King. He is the King without any question at all. Now, God, here we are. And we can't go. Well, he's king, and you'll hear, well, he isn't your king. He's Israel's king. True. He's king of Israel, and you could keep reading all kinds of places, and he's king over all the earth. True? That's true. Now, here we are, God, but he isn't your king. No. But he is. Go with me, please, over. Oh, to 1 Peter, you aren't far away. 1 Peter, if I may. And you know, as a believer, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God does something wonderful. When he died, the reason he died is because you had to die. The wages of sin is death. And God took you to the cross. He took you and substitute, and he died in your place and mine.
For me, for you, for everybody.
And he buried, and he rose again. Not for him, for us. Because you can't offer me pardon without giving me something, because all you're doing is saying I'm pardoned, but I need something in my state of death. I need something, and that's life. Life is what I need. And so he rose again. But he not only rose again, I died with him, buried, and I rose again, walk in newness of, and I did that, and more than that, he went and is seated at the right hand of God, and that's where I am. Death, life, seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2, 6, 7, etc. Where am I seated? I'm seated with the King. How's it show up down here? Up there, how's it show down here? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal, priestly, kingly, king-like. You're a king, priest, kings. Kings. That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, you have done something wonderful, and you have made it so that we are a royal priesthood, kingly priesthood. Why is that? Because you're with me. I am the priest of all priests, and the king of all kings, and the prophet of all prophets. You're mine. Where I am, you are. Where you are, I am. You have a relationship to me now. That's called, you remember it? Sons. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes into your heart, and he cries, the first thing you learn is, sons. And it's in the continuous tense. He keeps on saying it. Sons, don't lose it. You're here. Don't get caught up in your stomach. You'll lose everything. You have a tough journey if you leave him off. God, I want to go through successfully. That's right. And a king. And the world, Jews, are you going to receive him as king? Not yet. Is the world? Nope, not yet. But believers are the sons of the king. The sons of the king. And they're kings. And Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 5. You remember when we did Revelation. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, verse 5, chapter 1, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And that's what Paul cried out, chapter 5, verse 10. Again, we are reminded, chapter 5, verse 10. And hath made us, there's your word, made on us unto our God kings and priests. What for? That we should reign on the earth under the King. Sons of the King. A son with the King. Wow. That's my position. And so I don't speak of Christ my King. I speak of Christ my Lord, my head. But I honor him as King. In fact, if you were with somebody of prestigious thing, and in the thing, make believe we're someplace, whatever, and in the process, and you were a son of the dignitary, you could go up to the dignitary and say, Father, couldn't you? Couldn't you do that? Sure you could. Legit? But you wouldn't. You would say, Your Honor, wouldn't you? Publicly, you'd say, you'd address him in his public position. He's Your Honor, the King. What do? We honor the King as kings. Well, as kings. Israel? Israel, you don't like that, do you? No, we don't. We aren't going to go with you guys. No, not going to do that. Wow. Over, if you would, please, in closing, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Picking up, if I may. Oh, chapter 19. Luke 19. Here you have the same account as Matthew chapter 21. But, we have some extra little pieces as Luke gives us a window to look through. And we come to verse 40. And he answered, remember that. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these people, just the multitude was saying it, and they didn't believe it. They didn't understand it, but they needed to say it. They needed to say it. I'll read it. Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said unto them, verse 40, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out, and they would. And the stones remembered everything, and I'd make the stones repeat history for you all the way back. Wow. And verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept, he poured out loud weeping. Wow. He burst into tears, weeping audibly over it, expressing grief, the terrible grief. About what? Verse 42. If thou hadst known, even thou, at the least, in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. That's Titus, the Roman army in 70 AD. And compass thee around and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. If you had only known the day. A wish, the texted languages, I wish. There's no main clause following. A wish that can never be fulfilled. A fruitless desire. I could wish it, but it will never happen. Never happen. That's the Lord. What I would have done, but you didn't understand. Stomach, our world, here and now, and you're lost out. You're lost out. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. And God, thank you very much for your grace and mercy and kindness. God, thank you for loving us. Help us, God. I don't want to hear that word. If you had only known. I don't want to hear God, and you would not. I don't want to know that. I don't want to say that word. I don't want to hear that about me. And you would not. You would not hear me. You would not honor me. God, I don't want that. No, never, 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 God. Never. God, honor yourself, the need of the people, the heart, stir it, stimulate it. God, it's so easy and wonderfully simple, real, right, legal in heaven and on earth. God, but we just caught up in our material earthly existence to the neglect of our heart and soul. God, thank you very much. Spirit of God, honor our Lord and deal with the heart of each. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.